Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland,
New York,
New Jersey,
Indianapolis,
California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa, Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Bay Lake Tower,
Old Key West,
Riviera,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Hilton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Copper Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening to
My DVC Points.
Well, welcome home, everybody. My name is Chad, and welcome to the My DVC Points Community Hall Live. So I would like to welcome to the show tonight, Aaron. So, hey, Aaron, how you doing tonight?
Good. Thanks for having me on, Chad.
Yeah, thanks for coming back on. So we've got a really interesting topic tonight, and I know you're an Orlando local. Mm-hmm. At least you are now. You moved down there to be in the Magic. But we've got you on to cover in some really good topics tonight. And then I'd like to welcome back to the show, Sandy. How you doing tonight, Sandy?
Hi, Chad. I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Oh, doing awesome. Awesome. Glad to have you back on. And then let's bring in Susanna to the stream. So how are you doing tonight?
Hey, good. Hi, Chad, Aaron, and Sandy. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I mean, welcome back to the show as your first visit from home. I know you joined us from Disney Springs like last week or the week before last.
Mm-hmm.
So you're now home from home, and we're glad to have you here.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that's really, 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 really good. And the first topic that we're going to go over tonight is this story that came out that says Walt Disney World AP holders are being asked to buy tickets and get credit towards renewal. The story I have is broke on WW News Today. I'll go ahead and share that screen and that story. And according to this story, and it sounds like some of you guys have been there as well, it's really just saying, look, park services, guest services is telling people to, if you got an annual pass and you can't get enough days in on the annual pass, to buy a normal ticket and they will come back in and credit that towards you on renewal. Guys, is that your understanding of the story as well?
That's my understanding, Chad. And it's something, it's a tool or a method that's been used in the past where vacationers have come down, they've bought a 7-day park hopper ticket. And, you know, if they've used a couple of days of that park hopper ticket and they had 5 days left to use, they could take those 5 days and redeem them or apply those days towards an annual pass. Mm-hmm. What I'm hearing here, though, you can buy a 1-day ticket. If you're an annual pass holder, you can buy a 1-day ticket. I think the confusing part is if I use that 1-day ticket going through the turnstile, can I still apply it to an annual pass in the future? And I don't know the answer to that. Or maybe I keep the 1-day ticket, and as I'm going through the turnstile, I use my annual pass. I'm not exactly sure how that works out.
Yeah, I don't know either. The one thing that I'm a little disappointed about in how this all shook out was, if you look at the annual passes over at Disneyland, they have something called a Select Pass, and it's about $400, and it goes by this reservation system like we have today in Walt Disney World, but it's a $400 pass. And they're equivalent to what I have, which is the Premier Plus annual pass, is $1,200. So it's like I bought the $1,200 version, but you're downgrading my service to the $400 version. So like a quarter of the cost. And now you're telling me to buy more tickets to get back in. Well, you haven't made good on the pass that I bought in the first place. So I'm a little confused about that process. Something just doesn't seem to add up there. And
well, not only that, but you're missing out on all the park hopping as well, right?
You're missing out on the park hopping as well. And so I'm just looking at it and I'm going, something just doesn't feel fair and equitable about this situation. So I don't know what it is. I don't know how to come back in and describe it. But I'm curious as to what you guys that are tuning in think. And Susanna, do you have any thoughts here?
I do. So I was a little trigger shy to buy my annual passes this year because I didn't renew a few years ago. And I've kicked myself ever since. But more importantly, this year, I was sitting on Disneyland tickets for a trip I had in March that got canceled. And that was a lot of money wrapped up into that. And so I was a little conservative on buying my DVC discounted annual pass, right? And so I waited. And then, well, I'm not upset I didn't buy them, but I am now because here I am with two reservations coming up, you know, one in November and then another in March at peak times, Thanksgiving and spring break. And I couldn't do anything. Like, I couldn't get tickets. You know, they released 2021 tickets on sale.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, geez, I don't want to buy those. I want to buy an annual pass. And I called DVC the day before they announced that we could buy, what was it, on the 9th, right? I think it was, or mm-hmm. the 6th or something, when we could buy park tickets. Mm-hmm. So I called them the day before and I'm like, look, I don't mind buying the tickets as long as I can do what we've been able to do in the past, is go ahead and turn them into an annual pass when I get there. So, you know, I'm looking at a different perspective. Like, I really hope they allow us to do that because we still cannot buy an annual pass right now. So as a DVC member with reservations sitting out there mm-hmm. wanting to buy park tickets, knowing I want to take advantage of my DVC discount and get an AP, I can't. And that's a little frustrating. So I bit the bullet and bought some park tickets for a family of four for 3 days. And, you know, I'm well over hoping, half in.
Yeah. Hoping by right. the time you get there, you can do that upgrade yeah. trick as well. Okay.
I hope so, because, you know, I've got spring break coming up too. And I'm like, I don't want to keep buying tickets. I just want yeah. my pass, you know?
Yeah. I mean, well, they're telling existing park holders to buy 1 day tickets because they're out of annual pass reservations and upgrade. So I can't see why this should be any different for you as well.
Yeah. It's crazy.
But to me, that was just an interesting story to cover and an interesting thing to keep our eyes out on. Okay. As well.
Right.
And, so just coming in and looking at some comments here, Vicky said, we saw an AP holder do this today at guest relations at Magic Kingdom, and they applied the cost of the ticket towards the AP. So it's, Vicky, did they sell him an annual pass at that point in time? So, here's another comment, but the same AP holder couldn't renew. It's an odd system right now.
Yeah. My understanding is they are not renewing or selling APs at the moment. And who knows when they'll pick those sales back up again.
Yeah. It just seems like a little bit odd to me. Okay. Mm-hmm. Really, 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 really odd. Okay. And, you know, Christine's saying, right, kind of shady. It's not sitting well with me. And I don't know why that is. So we'll follow that story and keep up with that as well. Evelyn says, I saw you can't even renew or buy annual passes now. Mm-hmm. Heard the future of passes are suspended. And that's exactly what you said there as well. So, yeah, that pretty much wraps that part up, that little segment. I just wanted to cover it briefly. The other thing that just seems odd when we were going, well, what are we talking about tonight? I couldn't turn on the TV all week long without hearing two stories on national news. And the first one is Walt Disney World opens. And the second one is Florida is now the new epicenter of COVID due to all the stuff that's out there. And if you'll scroll way back up in the first comments on this video, I put a link there and I'll put a link in the show notes as well, which the show notes will be mydvcpoints.com/C003. For today's episode. And if you're tuning into the podcast version of this, but essentially, this research comes in and somebody's been consolidating all of the health data from Florida. And what they're doing is they're saying that pretty much came back in and did all of this really great consolidated health data for Florida. And I'm letting the screen populate now and I'll share it. But this is talking about, like, it's like a heat map of Florida by county. And you can see the number of, you know, positive cases, new cases today, 15,300. Death counts, hospitalized counts, available ICU beds. That's the part I would like. Glad to know that there's plenty of those available in the state. But seems like if you were traveling there, you'd be getting home by the time it got derogated to that status. But it just seems odd to me that these two news stories are both going on. And I wanted to talk with members and see how it is people are reconciling these two stories. So I know, Aaron, you live local, but what's your take on some of this stuff?
So, you know, Walt Disney World is a key economic driver to the state of Florida. And, you know, without getting into too much politics or anything like that, for Walt Disney World to be open, it's a big deal to Florida. you know, beaches and all of that. I mean, this is a tourism state.
Yep.
We are driven by tourism. There's no state income tax here. The governor and the state leaders, the local leaders, they want Disney World open, just to get that revenue going again, starting up that engine again. And again, you always go back to revenue versus safety. And you have to look out for the population, right? Because obviously we're in the middle of a pandemic. But the talk here is really it's split, like you would imagine. There's some people who say no, Walt Disney World should not open, and then there are people who say yes, you know, we have to get on with things and let's start moving again. So that's the message you really hear here in Central Florida.
Trust me, I know. My wife's a teacher, and in Michigan, we're hearing, 10% pay cuts because they don't have the tax base to be able to pay the teachers, okay, which should have been funded through property taxes, which hasn't changed, and they're still collecting those, so I don't get that part of it. But other state income and state public services are funded by taxes, and shutting down the economy and businesses definitely does that, okay? So I kind of get that argument on it. But I'm curious as to how people are considering, should I even be going to Florida right now? When we looked at that map, we can see, let me see if I can zoom in on the county some. Okay, when I zoom in on the county here, you're looking at Orlando, and Orange County is one of the heavier, darker spots in the state. And every time before, when I talked to my friends there, like Shannon Ford and Valerie, that all live down here in South Florida, they're all saying, yeah, it's all the South Florida beach area, but we're seeing it in Orlando now as well, which I just thought was an interesting perspective.
Right. It looks like, based on that map, it's the populated areas, right? So you got Orlando and Orange County, you've got Tampa there on the West Coast, and then you have your Miami-Dade County down in the bottom right. So you're starting to see more populous areas getting that moniker of a dark orange.
Yeah, that's kind of, what I'm thinking. And I know, Sandy, you've got this concern that they won't even let you across the border, okay?
No, I'm not going down there yet.
Yeah, so Sandy, you live in Montreal, right? Just so that, I mean, I know that, but the listeners don't, so
yeah, they may not. Yeah, so we're up in Montreal, Canada. And so our border's closed at least until July 21st. And the rumor is that it's probably going to be closed after that as well. I know that they're in talks to try and see when the border can reopen because the northern states would like it to be. It's pretty much we're not allowed traveling anywhere other than Canada at this point. There are certain locations like we're allowed to go to Europe, but there again, the government is still warning against the fact that things can change on a dime and you might not be able to get back. So why take the risk? I guess a lot of people are thinking at this point in time.
And I know, Susanna, you recently went as well last week. And so I'm kind of curious, what's the thought process that you guys have? Because Laura and I canceled the trip this summer. We just said, you know what? We're not going to risk it. We had enough things going on here.
It was our trip, Chad.
What's that? I know. We were supposed to meet Sandy down at Vero Beach. And since Sandy couldn't be there,
there you go.
I just had to call the whole ball. You know what I'm saying? but you went last week. Did you have concerns or any thoughts or feelings or what's going on there?
Well, I did. I had mixed emotions about it, but I also had three kids that have been anxiously awaiting this trip since Christmas when we surprised them. That, hey, we're going after school gets out, right?
Yeah.
And honestly, I didn't even know. We checked into Riviera on the 21st of June. So it was 2 weeks ago we were there. And I was like, oh my gosh, they're open. And knowing how Disney does things, I honestly wasn't too concerned. And I was not disappointed, to be honest with you. And Chad, we're in Michigan, so we can attest to a state that's been very aggressive as far as handling our actions, right? And I felt very good being on Disney property because, as you know, we all know that it's private, right? They can do whatever they want. So watching the staff cleaning constantly and the social distancing and monitoring the people in the stores and the counting and the markers everywhere, 6 feet apart, even the pool areas I felt were very well handled. I felt safer there than I had in any place in Michigan, which is a pretty good compliment, in my opinion, to Disney, because they do it right. It's when I left Disney and went to Anna Maria Island for a couple days over on the other side of the state. Boy, well that was eye-opening, because it was a completely different environment. So I felt really good being there, and I would go back in a heartbeat. It's getting there that maybe is a little leery, right? Going on the plane or, you know,
Got it. Just picking up a couple of comments from the audience here as well. They're saying, Amanda's saying, I'm willing to go to Disney because it's certainly safer than my tiny classroom of 35 kids will be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of true. Okay. At least, 35 kids or you don't know what the parents are doing is just kind of scary to me as well. Okay.
Yeah. Good points. And I would add to that, that at least here in Orange County, and I've said this before, I feel safer in the Disney bubble than I do outside of Disney. Mm-hmm. So when I go to the grocery store, I'm walking through and I see people without masks. I see more recklessness. Mm-hmm. Inside the Disney bubble, you know, being in the parks or the resorts, no problems. People are behaving themselves. They're wearing masks. They're social distancing as best they can. And that's why, in my opinion, I would rather be there than in some of the public spaces here in Orlando.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
At least Disney's somewhat policing it as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so coming back in, Roxanne saying that they canceled their August trip to the World 2, that it broke their hearts. And
she got to go to Hilton Head.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. And we'll cover that in a minute in our transitionary. So, and then Bev is saying, I live about 6 miles from Magic Kingdom. We have 2 DVC trips planned in September. Not sure if we will go into the parks, but planning on enjoying the resorts. So she's right there with you, Aaron, and that short commute DVC member as well. And then Evelyn says, we changed ours to May, mainly because of our daughter with special needs. Yes, we'll both wear masks, but they won't even go to Walmart. I could completely see that as well if you're at risk. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then Amy was saying she was okay until today. The 20% positivity rate pushed me over the edge to cancel. Yes. And I know when you check out DVC availability right now, July, August, September is all wide open. Mm-hmm. Like you pick what you want and it's pretty much there from like standard view rooms at Boardwalk. Okay. Which usually go like that. Okay. Yeah. They're still available. So it's an interesting situation that we're in right now. Okay. And
it's going to make booking next year even that more difficult.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, it certainly is. And Amanda says, I feel secure due to the extra cleaning Disney is doing, limiting the entrance, social Disney. We've all been dealing with this since March, and we need a little bit of magic in our lives to make it through the next few months. Okay.
That's exactly why we went. We felt that same way.
And then Tony Ann is saying that she felt safer at Animal Kingdom on Thursday than she does at Publix, which is the local grocery store chain there. And Drake was saying he was in Dollywood a couple of days ago and the staff handled it well. While not at Disney, I think theme parks know this will be around for a while and we will need to adjust. Yeah, that's some really, really good points there as well. I'm trying to come in and on some more comments here. That's another issue there. I'm not trying to come back in and say one way or another. I'm trying to just cover people's thoughts and reactions to this as well. But there is so much media surrounding it. We don't know what to believe. So many theories and things along those lines.
So Chad, I was in the parks this past weekend, and Thursday was an annual pass preview day. We were lucky enough to get admission to that. And we went to that event, and I could tell you that there were probably 7,000 to 10,000 people in the park. It was very lightly attended. They just didn't sell that many tickets or reservations for that event. Saturday, when we went back to the Magic Kingdom, there was a bit of an uptick, I would say, as far as attendance. It seemed like there were more people in the park than during the preview. Animal Kingdom today, when we went, it wasn't very crowded at all. And I don't know if that was just a matter of them not selling as many, or maybe people got reservations and decided last minute not to go. So,
well, I mean, that's the question I fundamentally have. And we'll ask this question when we bring in our live people as well, because we've got some live trip reports going on as well. And I might as well just go ahead and transition over to this as well. So let's see if I can bring them in. It'd be a technological miracle. I know I can do six, but I've got seven total. So let me go ahead, and I'm just going to kill my screen share. Maybe that will make things a little easier. But let's welcome Anthony Hatch to the stream. So, hey, Anthony, how are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you doing? Can you hear me with my mask on?
Yeah, actually, we can. So we can as well. So where are you at tonight?
I'm at the beautiful Riviera Resort.
Nice.
Okay.
We just finished up dinner at Topolinas Terrace. So.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. And so
so we checked in on the 10th, and we are staying here until the 18th, and we are over at the beach club. And hold on, let me take that. Oh, I can lower the sound a little bit here. There's no one else around. I'm on that private deck. I'm on that private patio. That's like no one.
Oh, okay.
On. Nice.
So we are at the beach club in a studio. We actually ended up renting points through some distress points that some people needed to get rid of. So we actually took those, but I'm actually a brand new DVC member as of 2 weeks ago. I closed on my contract.
Awesome.
Congratulations
and welcome home.
Welcome home.
Now I'm home resorting at Bay Lake Tower. So
good deal.
I bought resale from DVC resale market from there. But Woo-hoo! In any case, yeah. Marissa over there was my guide. She was great. She was fantastic. We've been here for 3 days. The first day we got here, we went to Disney Springs and everyone was wearing their mask. I felt very safe. Even if like they weren't, there was cast members telling them to put their masks on. People were socially distancing. I think it's a little difficult in the stores. There are like one-way markers, but it's hard for people to kind of like, you know, you're browsing and you...
Yeah, you're shopping, right?
Right.
Your mind's not in follow the rules and the signs,
follow
right?
The arrows. But I think, and then we also we were at Magic Kingdom on Saturday too, and we were at Animal Kingdom today. And I would probably say the same thing. 99.9% of people were following the rules to the T.
People had
the mask on. My friend actually was with me, actually took her mask down for 10 seconds so she could use the Face ID on her phone. And three cast members within 10 seconds were like, please put your mask back on. Please put your mask back on. Please put your mask back on. Like,
got it. Let me add Gina into the stream as well. So hey, Gina, welcome.
Hi.
Hey, how are you tonight? And where are you at? Are you at Boulder Ridge tonight?
Yeah, we're at Boulder Ridge in like the common area.
Gotcha. So we've got you, and then on another phone, we've got Vicky as well. And is that Shannon with them?
That's Shannon.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Let me come back in and see if I can.
I have that one too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So now everybody but Sandy and I has been to Disney during this COVID deal, right? So I have this question that goes along these lines. And I'm wondering if the magic feeling is still there, and does it overcompensate for this lack of this COVID scareness, right? This uncomfortable of COVIDness. Does the magic win out? Okay.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So yeah.
I think a lot of it, I think the magic is a lot of what you bring to it. Like if you come in with the expectation that you are going to have the exact same experience that you've had every single time, then yes, you are going to be let down. But if you come in with the mindset like, hey, we're going to Disney, we're going to be there, you got to create a little bit of magic yourself. I think a lot of it's just like being grateful that the cast members are here, working hard. I think during this time, I've actually watched people be extra nice to cast members because, you know, they're really putting their lives on the line to come out here and deal with patron upon guest and upon guest. To really help bring that magic back. And I think a lot of it is just like remembering that, you know, we're fortunate enough to be able to do these trips and these vacations, and that just being grateful enough to be able to do these things, because you either work hard or someone's given you this chance to come down here and do that. I think that's a lot of what the magic is being able to be grateful for what you're able to do and not being sad or mad about what you're not able to do.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gina. Vicky, go ahead. What do you guys think?
So for me, I feel safer here than I do in California. So I want to echo everybody else. And I also think that the cast members have been above and beyond gracious with us, and they're grateful to be back at work. In fact, we were talking to one of the cast members here, and he's like, I am so happy just to be back working and being able to provide for you.
Got it. And I'm going to be switching back and forth on your guys' mutes so that we can don't get the echo, but I'll go over to Vicky now and see what she has to say. So Vicky, what's your thoughts?
So we're having a really great time, and I think just everyone has, I don't want to say lower expectations, but like managed expectations where you understand you're not going to do the same things, but you're still experiencing the things that you can experience. Like, for example, I went on teacups, which I would never do ordinarily. And I'm like, I'm just not going to spin it. Right. And that's just something I wouldn't do ordinarily, but you know, it's there, it's an outdoor ride. They're sanitizing it, you know, like, let's go for it. So you can find ways to make it magical for yourself.
Oh, okay. Are they actually sanitizing it between every set of riders?
Okay. Yeah. It depends on the ride. So teacups was the one that I saw sanitized the most, where they did half the cups because they sprayed the other half and let it dry. And then they would do the other half and then spray the, yeah. So and I like that.
Splash Mountain, they actually stopped the ride, cleaned them off, and then they started it again for us. So we had to wait in line a little bit longer for that because they were cleaning.
Got it.
But the magic's still there. We're having a great time.
Got it. So Aaron, what was your thoughts on that? Still magical? Still?
And I think Anthony hit it right on the nose. It's really, it just depends on the person. It depends on how you make it. And look, our family couldn't wait to get back to the parks. You know, we've been chomping at the bit to get back. So when we entered the Magic Kingdom Thursday for the annual pass preview, I mean, we were just excited. We were happy to be there, soaking up atmosphere, taking in the sights and the sounds. And, you know, really, we made it a great time. We walked from attraction to attraction. And the beauty of all this, and I'm sure you can all attest to this, is low crowds, low wait times. You're waiting no more than 15, 20 minutes for major attractions, which is something you just don't ever experience in the parks.
You think that might offset it some, right? You think it might make up for quite a bit of it?
It certainly does. It helps. Go ahead.
To give an understanding, is it kind of as if you're going to one of the Moonlight Magic events as far as your wait times, or to one of the parties? It's similar in wait time to that?
Yes.
No.
I'm sorry.
It's less.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because I think even during Moonlight Magic, you saw Seven Dwarfs Mime Train, you know, at like 50 minutes or 60 minutes, even mm-hmm. then. But we were seeing it this weekend at like 25, 30 minutes at the most. Yeah. So that's true.
We got on Flight of Passage in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Wow. Navi River Journey wait time today was longer than Flight of Passage's wait time today.
Yeah, but
we went on the Speedway. We went Speedway. It was 0 minutes. It didn't set on the queue. Zero. So we walked.
Wow.
Just went on and drove the cars.
Yeah.
Wow. My son would be all over that one. That's one of his favorites.
You know, I will add this. I thought being in the parks where there were very few people, you know, it does kind of take away some of the buzz. It's funny. You're walking around in open areas. You know, normally, you know, you have traffic, you have people talking and everybody's having a good time. Well, you don't really have that here. You're just kind of walking through the parks and it's somewhat surreal. And, there's a little bit of buzz that gets taken away, from being in the parks when they're so less attended.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me pick up a couple of, audience comments here as well. So, Amanda was saying Disney is doing everything they can to make us safe. It just sucks getting there is the problem. Okay. And yeah, for those of you who can drive, right? Your car is under your control. And then Amanda points out, she picks up on what you guys said. I think we have to bring a great attitude, bring our smiles under the mask and just enjoy. Okay. And Roxanne, who just got home from Hilton Head, she joined us last week on the live, felt the magic at Disney's Hilton Head Resort, cast member interactions, food, Dole Whips, DVC room stay, music, and trivia at the pool were all awesome. And then Sean was saying great news on the cleaning there. And then also asked this question. So with no parades, fireworks, etc., what's the extra magic that you guys have seen? That's a really great question.
So at Magic Kingdom, they do cavalcades. So it's Spanish for one float parades. So it's random. So it's not scheduled. So people can't gather and watch it. You kind of just gotta catch one of them. They're cavalcades, and they're one float parades, and they'll have like the party dancers. I think they're dancers. Mm-hmm. They have those that come out in front and behind, and they move very quickly through the park, so you can't stop and stop and gather. They move very quickly through, and there's different cavalcades. Like there's a princess cavalcade. There'll be the prince's cavalcade. They'll have different movies, but they were happening pretty frequently. They were probably, I want to say, every half hour ish. Mm-hmm. That's about.
Yeah. Wow.
At Animal Kingdom, they have them on the boats, and they go on the boats throughout the park, so they're floating cavalcades. So there was like Pocahontas, there was the drummers that were on them. So that was a little bit of the magic there, as far as like being able to see characters. I did Be Our Guest lunch yesterday. The Beast is at Be Our Guest lunch.
Ooh,
he walks around, and you can do a socially distanced selfie with him. But that's about it. And he doesn't stop. You have to be really good at taking a selfie and putting yourself up and.
So he doesn't like pose with you to give you
No.
He has a very specific route that he does, and he's flanked by four cast members on all four sides. So there was a family that tried to run up to him, and the cast member was like, "Please go back to your table," like very nicely, like. And this.
So they're playing guard, huh?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Coming in on you. Speaking of interesting characters and selfies, I shamelessly stole this photo from your Facebook profile there, Aaron. So I want to throw this up here and have you explain to us what this is, because this was like the ultimate of rare character meets, if you ask me. So
right. Yeah. So as we were walking into actually, it was a little bit later than that. We were in the Magic Kingdom on Saturday, and there was quite a welcome when we first walked in. There were cast members, high ranking cast members, flanking both sides of Main Street, welcoming everybody back. And so we went into the park, and then we came back towards Main Street, and I just so happened to see Josh DeMauro there, who's in the background. Again, he is the head of Walt Disney World theme parks across the world. And, I just happened to notice him, and, I stopped and said hi to him, got a picture, talked for a little bit, and, we went on our way, but, it was kind of neat to see that, he's in the parks, he's monitoring what's happening. He's got his finger on the pulse. I did hear word later that, Bob Chapek, the CEO of Walt Disney, was in the parks as well, which was kind of cool. So they really are keeping a close eye on how everything is happening. And I would assume as they see things, that they're going to make modifications in the future to try to enhance the magic and make things better. So,
but Bob Chapek was in the park. I saw him. I also, with the clapping in on Saturday, both of the Disney ambassadors were there too. So I have a selfie with the ambassadors, that the ones that do all the videos for Disney.
Got
they
it.
Were there too. Mm-hmm.
Got it. Yep. Well, that makes sense. It's a PR kind of event opening back up. So they would bring in their PR specialist, so to speak. But right. I think that photo is kind of what we're going to be experiencing for pictures with characters from now on, right? I mean, aren't we going to be doing selfies with them 6 feet in the background or more?
Yeah, I definitely think so. And you're going to see that, especially at character meals, where they're going to walk by your table. They won't be able to actually come up to your table, but they'll stop and pose and take pictures. If you want to do selfies, like you said, Chad, we've been hearing that's the case at Chef Mickey's, which opened up just recently.
Yeah, we had that experience at Topolino's too.
Yeah, at Topolino's, they do a square around the restaurant. and they you have to do a selfie, like a selfie, like a distance selfie with them that way.
Got it. Amanda has a great question here for you guys to answer. She goes, does anybody know if they're restricting guests from checking in who are from states with the travel ban? Are they self-policing that at all?
It's an honesty system situation. So I'm from Massachusetts, and Connecticut right below me is actually on the travel ban for 14 days. And we were going to fly out of Connecticut down to down here. And knowing that, you know, I fear authority. So I was like, I got to switch my airport to a non-travel ban state. So we actually changed our airport up to New Hampshire because it's not on the travel ban state.
Got it.
But when we got down here, I did ask one of the cast members what they were doing. It's kind of a, they can't really, you're supposed to quarantine for 14 days, but they said that they weren't really checking people. They were kind of, it's like they were having people sign something saying that they had quarantined for 14 days prior to coming. But it was like a, it was a, it was an honesty system kind of situation because it's kind of
hard Got it. So Bev asked this question as well. Are they still doing the water parade pageant that they used to do every night at the Magic Kingdom resorts? So no water parade there as well. And then Tony comments as well that Chef Mickey's opened back up, but the characters aren't back. And I saw that and I was like, $25 for, you know, $4 worth of breakfast food. Wow. Like, I get it that it's Disney shaped Mickey waffles, but holy cow, without the characters there, that's some steep prices. So, and then, Sean makes this comment, friends of ours from upstate New York and flew out of Philly and were not checked at the airport or the resort. And so, yeah, because they do know your home address from when you check in as well.
So. I wonder if they're going to start becoming a little bit more stringent on that, just because if the cases keep going up, I don't know, that they might start referring to your home address because it is in your My Disney Experience profile, right?
Sure enough there as well. So, okay, if you guys have any more questions that you want to ask our experts that are on site, go ahead and post them up there and we'll try to address them tonight. So I'm still wondering here, like, would you guys redo this trip? You know, hands down, yes, right? Still, you feel like you're getting your pixie dust fill here, okay?
I feel spoiled, actually, because I can walk anywhere, go anywhere. It's like 1992 back at Disneyland. So
right.
I think that was a good time.
The trip for me this year. This
I was there.
I think the biggest thing about being a DVC member is that we know that we're going to have, you know, however long on the contract left, 40 years, 50 years. And when people ask us why we're DVC members and why we want to go to Disney every year, isn't it the same thing over and over again? I just look at this as a chance to experience Disney in a different way because it's a variation. Like, you know, we're, you know, people, it's worth it for us to come down here because we know that we're going to have 40 more years of these types of vacations. And going through one or two trips that are a little bit different with aren't necessarily better or worse, being a little bit different is still worth it for us because we're still getting to go come home to where we like to be, love to be. You know, the food options are still open. You know, a lot of them are limited menus and you're using QR code to look at them on the menu, you know, but it just, if you look at it, like this is a chance to experience Disney in a way that most people will never get to experience it later in life, because hopefully the type of situation won't come around again. It's just another adventure. Like you gotta,
So
we're not using any public transportation. Like we rented a car. We never rent a car, but like we rented a car because we wanted to avoid public transportation as much as possible.
What I kind of hear you saying here, Anthony, is long-term DVC members, you're going to be able to look back at this and go, remember that trip in 2020 that was the COVID trip that was just like this weird off-ball one. So it will be unique and memorable from that level and perspective.
Yeah.
Okay. And
I have a question. What's impressed you guys the most about the whole process so far? Being down there and having to do the whole social distancing and the new measures that are in place. What's impressed you the most about it?
There's lots of plexiglass. I like the plexiglass. Yes. Yeah. It helps.
you kind of understand why it took them a month after Universal opened, because they built in the plexiglass. Like, it is like part of like the exist. It looks like it's part of the existing structure for a lot of like Flight of Passage and all the different rides. There's plexiglass when you have to like double back. There's plexiglass, like, and it's like built in, and it's like not just like some flimsy like tarp or something that they put up. Like, they definitely like built it in. I think what's impressed me the most actually is everybody's willingness to comply with the rules in general. Like, there are, I'm watching 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds walking around with masks, and like, you know, people are like, well, my 2-year-old's never gonna do it. Like, I've watched kids of all different ages put masks on and keep them on during the entire day in the park. I've watched parents like put masks back on kids after they take them off. Like, you know, I think what I think it is like this collective willingness to understand that we're lucky enough to be down here, so all we have to do is wear a mask.
Got it. So Drake asked this question, are there any good mask-free zones? Cooling stations may be a better way to ask. So where's the mask-free zones? I'm assuming
there's
restaurants.
One on Carolina, there's one on Tomorrowland Terrace. And the zone is just like a table, but the tables are more than 10 feet apart from each other. So you can take your mask off there. And that's the only one I've experienced so far.
Yeah, so there is one in the back of the Magic Kingdom out by the outpost in Frontierland. That's another one. Now, that one is wide open. You're just basically sitting out in the open, where Tomorrowland Terrace, like you mentioned, Anthony, is it's covered. And it does have ceiling fans. So there's two there. And I believe there's one more. And
there's one in the circus, no?
Yes, Storybook Circus. You're right, inside the tent. That's fully
that
enclosed.
Yeah, that's the fully enclosed air conditioned, but it was too far from where we were at, so we didn't go there.
Got and then it. At Animal Kingdom, there's a couple too, I think.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Lauren makes just a comment here. She's saying it's a different type of trip, and she was drooling over the empty pathways and low wait times. So, yes. And then... this isn't quite a question. She goes, I love in the Zippity Doo-Dah. Was the song playing at all? Splash was there, obviously, but have they taken the song out of the parks yet? Because there was this article coming up saying that they've taken it down from Apple iTunes on one of like the Walt Disney World official albums. It's no longer available. Trying the same song on other albums on iTunes. But if you like the song, you might as well download it because it's going away soon. Okay, is the message that sent. So I thought that was a really good question. And then Roxanne asks, are they taking cash or is everything cashless?
No, they are taking cash.
They will take your money. Okay?
Yeah, they
that's the Disney I know and love. Okay.
They try to avoid
encouraging,
it.
They're encouraging cashless payments, whether it be Apple Pay or... You know, Apple Pay or your Magic Bands are encouraging it, but there is cash. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen very few people use cash, but for the most part, it's a lot of cash contactless payments.
We're an Apple family, and I know that it's been problematic when we're wearing our masks in the grocery store or different stores if you go to pay with the face recognition. So I don't know how that's working out down there for most people, but we have a hard time with it here. Well, we kind of have to flip open our masks quickly and then kind of stare at your phone and put it back on. So I can see how that could be problematic in certain situations there. Yeah,
most people are paying with credit card. I mean, I have seen people, and it actually is nice. They've upgraded some of their credit card payment processing machines to where you can actually do tap to pay, which I've been using quite a bit. So
Nice. Then you don't even have to like get it. Just get it near it.
Just touch it.
And then this is a long question from Patricia. It essentially says, Savi's lightsaber workshop. Are they still doing that? Is that still going on? Do you know, is it they're just going to limit capacity there? And she says she's never been to Galaxy's Edge yet, and she wants to know if it'll be there when she goes.
I think that is an unknown at this time, unless somebody else knows. I haven't heard.
If you go to the droids people will be open. The Savi's workshop will not be open. If you go to Know Before You Go on the WDW website, it actually lists each of the park and what experiences are going to be open. The last time I checked, Davi's workshop was not going to be open, but the Droid Depot was going to be open.
Got it.
And okay. Beyond that, you don't know. No one knows when they're going to reopen it. You have to check that list every day because things get taken off that list and things get added back onto that list daily.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense with Droid Depot because they could just space you out and close down some of the build stations and really just slow down the process and spread people out. Over at Savvy's, that's a bunch of people crammed into a little tiny room. They turn off the lights and it's a really cool experience when they all light up. So, yeah. So Mike asked this question, are the DVC booths open in the parks? So
no,
no DVC booths flagging people down. That's not good. So that will impact their sales as well. Mm-hmm. And then, Catherine writes a question here. I'm going to try to, it's a question about Splash Mountain. Catherine, if you want to rephrase that, I'll be glad to address it. But, and then
I will say this, the Splash Mountain merchandise is already sold out.
Right. Oh yeah. Yeah. You saw the people going out there with the big bags of it. Okay.
Oh, that's incredible.
And you know what I'm hoping? I'm hoping that it takes like 4 years for them to get around to doing this. And so they're just sitting on all of this merch that's not really all that collectible. Okay. Yeah. That's what I'm hoping happens to those people. Right.
That's not and, cool.
Or, you know, they come back in and they keep selling that same merch. So it has like no value. Wow. Disney's just like going, ha ha, suckers, you know, well, you know, thanks for cleaning out our shelves. Right. And, you know, yeah, so that's a really good deal there. We're at about the top of the hour. If anybody else has any comments for the team here, go ahead and make them. If not, I wanted to take a few moments and give a shout out to our sponsors over at DVC Resale Market. So, Anthony, thank you so much for doing the shout out to them today. I will be sure to let
I actually bought 4 contracts from them all at the same time.
Holy how, like,
I listened to the recap and I actually am the guy that got the poly at 133 point.
Wow. Nice. Very nice. Nice. You got a great buy on that. So a great buy on that poly contract.
Me and Marissa have been talking quite a bit over the, I just got through Roper on the 4th contract and we went to closing on the 1st contract a week ago.
Awesome.
So I'm waiting for my account to be formed so I can finally have my points.
Got it. Well, I'm glad to hear that was an awesome experience as well.
It was incredible. They were so great.
Yeah. And then some, I think you had mentioned or somebody mentioned renting points as well. And that's also a really great thing to do. Go ahead and check out. Yeah. The discounted rentals over at dvcrentalstore.com. So they have some smoking good deals because people are stuck and they can't go. They got these points that they're going to use. So they just grab an open reservation and throw it up there.
I got Beach Club for $12 a point.
Yeah, which is like insane. Okay. Man, normally to rent Beach Club, you have to go on the list and at the 12-month mark and hope and pray some Beach Club owner decides to rent out their points. And the backlog for Beach Club is just unheard of. So for you to get it for 12 as opposed to 21, which is the normal Beach Club rate, that's just a smoking good deal. And as you can see, I mean, the availability is there. These guys are all saying they're having a great time. So if you guys decide to face the COVID deal, those are some great options as well. And then a shout out to Monera Financial as well. So if you're looking to buy a contract, you need to finance it, they will finance anything in Florida for you. Not a problem. And go ahead and check them out as well. They also do great refis if you're paying more than 9.9%. And so, yeah, that being said and done, we're getting some sign off and messages here. So Rachel says, thank you so much to Anthony, Vicky, and Gina for joining us the show tonight to give us your experience. And thanks to Chad, Aaron, Sandy, and Susanna as well for a great show. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We will be back next week. And Gina, do we know what we're talking about next week? All right. Hopefully we're getting back to our resort reviews.
I think so. I'll be home so I can work on it.
So, got it.
By next week,
we'll
have a show.
you taking a vacation is just like triple work on me. So it's like, we can't wait for you to get back. Okay.
I know.
It's like my whole team was gone. I had to put out a post going, who wants to join me today?
I saw.
Yep. And thanks everybody for the update. Have a great time in the parks. Have a great rest of your vacation. And thanks for taking some time out to join us. And thanks everybody for tuning in. We will be back. And final comments and asks here. If you don't catch the live, I want to just do a shout out as well. We're now putting it out there on a podcast you can find, Community Hall Podcast. It should be on Apple, Stitcher, Google Play, every place you can mainly find a podcast these days should do that. And then as well, Shannon Ford, who's normally with us, is also doing a new DVC newscast show. So it's all news and rumors from DVC. And go ahead and tune into that podcast as well. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in tonight. And hopefully you learned something tonight and you can go out there and plan something magical for your family. With that being said and done, I'm going to roll the final clip and thank our Patreons as well. So good night, everybody.
See you real soon.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.